Okay, now here we are, and somebody very attractive, not at all ugly, has joined us in the studio. Comedian Richard Herring. Richard, good
Hello.
Evening to you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a delight. You've been doing Bradford tonight.
I have, yeah, and Leeds last night. I did the Oak and the Library last night in Leeds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a little mini
tour of West Yorkshire.
So,
got you away from the election. Did you watch any of the coverage of that?
I did. I was commentating on it for BBC Radio Leeds, in fact. I was here last night. Well, I was meant to be, but they didn't really ask us any questions. So
no.
I just sort of sat and got drunk.
Yeah.
On the radio. You may have heard me last night.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a great... I've done that myself. It's a great way to spend an evening.
It is.
But, I mean, so you didn't watch the TV coverage or anything?
Only because we saw a little bit of it, but yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, it's quite dull, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a very dull election, but I mean, I quite enjoyed some of the TV stuff. At one point, this is what I enjoyed most, is ITV had an election night party at the London Eye, and, you know, there was lots of, it was a glittering election night party, you know, champagne and things, and you had a little bit at the start where they showed you somebody with a tray of champagne, and they said, and we'll be meeting opinion formers, you know, we'll be meeting politicians, show business personalities, and opinion formers. And the first person they met was Nicholas Parsons. I thought, well, there's an opinion former for you, eh, Nicholas Parsons?
Well.
How many opinions has he ever formed? Unbelievable, you know. I mean, because you really, before you decide what to think about the election, you really do want to know what Nicholas Parsons.
Well, absolutely. I wish I'd known before I voted, because, you know, it might have informed, might have changed everything.
Absolutely, might have been a key issue. Now, I mean, you've obviously been in the comedy business for quite a while, because I've got a cassette of yours, Lee and Herring's Fists of Fun.
Yeah.
Or Fist of Fun, from, it was a Radio 1 show, wasn't it?
Yeah, about 90. We started on the radio in about 91, writing for Weekending, and then we wrote On the Hour, which was what went on to be the day-to-day with Alan Partridge and all that.
Yeah. Which did you write in that?
We wrote about a third of the radio series, and
I thought the radio series actually was better than the.
You know what the difference was? We weren't involved in the TV series.
Weren't you?
No, we slightly fell out with them over the rights, because we felt we created quite a lot of the characters, or informed the creation of a lot of the characters.
Did you create Rosie May?
We wrote a lot of the. We wrote all the early stuff for Rosie May. We wrote all the early stuff for Alan Partridge. So, you know, we wrote a lot of it.
But, whenever I'm driving up and down the country, and I listen to a local radio station, and they do "It's What's On Time," and I always think of Rosie May, because it's just, you know, it's only just a tad away from.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it was a great series, and actually, you know, we're pretty much made up with everyone. I'm working with Armando again at the moment, so who was the producer.
Is that on his new TV?
No, I'm writing some sitcom ideas with him, so you know, so it's kind of, you know, we didn't really fall out, but it was just one of those things.
You mean, artistic differences.
It was a little bit, so we moved on.
A bit of ego in there,
was it? Well, it was just that, you know, everyone was very excited about getting onto TV. I think, you know, we were young, and I think they thought, this is the big shot. We can't. And I think, in fact, our manager was sort of saying, no, we've got to take it easy and make sure we get paid properly for this. And they were just rushing ahead to get on, and so it was boring, stupid, back behind the scene things.
And are you still working with Stuart Lee?
I don't work with him really. We've done bits and pieces here and there, but we've kind of gone our separate ways. We were doing the TV series, the last TV series this morning with Richard Knott Jr. in 99, it was 6 years ago, and then the BBC didn't want any more, so we took it. I think we'd have done another series and probably had a break anyway, because we've been working together for 15 years, so we kind of went our separate ways, and then we were forced to, you know, make our living in our separate ways. But we're probably better friends for not having to spend 12 hours a day with each other.
Must be
7 days a week.
Because, I mean, when you get these double acts, like Eric and Ernie, and you read about them afterwards, you know, that they never socialised at all, Eric and Ernie, did they?
I think that's the thing. Well, you know, you just don't, if you've worked with someone all day, you know, and the thing, I think the thing with a double act is you've got to have a, I think we got exactly the same sense of humour, and we are very good friends, but, you know, there are differences in our outlook, which is why the double act works. Because it's, and the friction about that, you know, I'm very much more optimistic, sort of, and she's very much more grumpy and pessimistic in real life, you know, though not entirely, you know, so we exaggerate that for the act, but so you've got that all day. You don't want to kind of go down the pub with that person you've just been looking at for 10 hours, trying to come up with a joke, you know, and you're arguing over a word in a sentence for 3 hours. You don't want
to. It's very hard to think of funny stuff. And we've been on the radio, myself and Edward, for 24 years. We haven't come up with anything yet, have we, really?
We need some management.
If we
do, we want management, don't we?
If you go to TV, it'll all go wrong. You'll split up.
We're not going to do that. We've turned all us off, haven't we? We met Armstrong, very close to my hoots.
Good for you. But yeah, see, I mean, it is difficult. If you, I don't know whether, did one of you sit at a word processor or a type of the other?
Yeah, we sort of took it in turns with that. I mean, that's, we both know what we want to do, you know, and I think like we always did separate stuff as well, but it's kind of nice to, now, yeah, someone would want to take control, and we kind of took it in turns basically to do that. And then you learned as as you get older and wiser, you learn to do it. And so it's not impossible that we'd work together again. We're coming up to about, in our 20th anniversary for the Edinburgh Fringe will be 2007. So I'm kind of thinking of trying to persuade him to reform, do the double act, just do a special show that year in Edinburgh. But
that'd be great.
We'll see.
Yeah, really good. Well, we'll talk more. Richard Herring is our guest. Richard Herring of Leon Herring fame, of Richard Herring fame as well, of himself. You've got your own fame. And
I've got lots.
Half of somebody else's fame.
My local paper in Cheddar called me a nationally known comedian.
Are you from Cheddar?
Yeah, well, that's where I grew up.
Sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to work for the Western Daily Press in Bristol, yeah. Yes.
More than that, he had a minivan.
I had a minivan, he says.
And I drove the scourge of the West Country, Madame.
Absolutely, I drove my minivan down, so it's probably for you.
People thought, Madame, people used to think you were delivering that mattress.
Yeah. But I did drive the minivan down to Cheddar. and I guess you got with a girl in Temple Cloud. Do you know Temple Cloud?
I know the name, I haven't been there.
What's wrong with that? That was in the old days when you used to go out with girls.
Yeah.
Only short ones, because it was a minivan.
It was a minivan.
Oui, Madame. Until you got the Skoda Octavia. But I'm going to. Bench seats and a column change.
Yeah, when we all go through a period where we go out with girls, but
I can't wait.
Yeah, excellent. Right, we'll have a bit more music and we'll talk more to Richard. It's now 8 minutes to 12 midnight. We're on BBC Radio Humberside, BBC Radio Sheffield, BBC Radio York, and Edward, you're looking at me expectantly. No?
I was looking at scones because I was trying to remember what happened to the minivan, but I remember, Matter, in those days, your subframe collapsed.
It was a subframe collapse, yeah. Right, it's 8 minutes to 12. He's mad, raving mad. There you are, Richard. That's somebody else who's curmudgeonly, like Stuart Lee, you see, because we had Stuart on the show, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, well, he was talking about Jerry Springer, the opera, which has been a big, huge hit on the telly,
absolutely,
and a bit of cause celebre, with all swearing and everything, which, of course, was vastly exaggerated, wasn't it?
Stupid. I mean, I think those people just shot themselves in the foot, didn't they? But A, because Christianity is about forgiving people for doing bad things and turning the other cheek. But B, that whole thing about the charity thing was just outrageous, where they were stopping charities accepting money.
Yeah,
they're Christians, is that right? And I think most Christians would find that just offensive, that's stupid.
With us in the studio, Richard Herring, I'm going to say you're a stand-up comedian, because although you're a writer, you're doing stand-up at the moment. You've been in Bradford and Leeds. What proportion of your life do you spend sort of hauling your ass around the country doing stand-up?
Well, I've started doing it a lot more this year. I've been doing one-man shows for the last four or five years in theatres, and I do that sort of 3 times a month or something, doing the, on average. And then I just sort of, I'd like to get back. And in fact, the last one-man show I did loads of sort of stunts for it, and pushed myself and ran a marathon and did parachute jumping and did all these things that I would never usually do. And it kind of sort of inspired me to go back to do stand-up, which was something that I didn't really enjoy. I did it in the early 90s on my own, and I didn't really enjoy it very much the first time around. So I kind of thought, I want to overcome those demons and do it again. So at the moment, I'm gigging probably, two out of every 3 nights traveling around the country and going everywhere, really. So I'm preparing to do a new show in Edinburgh, in the Pleasance, called Someone Likes Yogurt, which is based on one of my routines, but you have to see that to believe it.
Someone Likes Yogurt?
Yeah.
Give us an idea of what that's all about.
Well, it's very difficult to explain because it takes about 25 minutes in the routine, but basically it's based on a true story where I went to the supermarket and I bought 9 yogurts, storing ahead, thinking that'll last me.
Could be a nuclear explosion.
And then, the shop assistant said, the checkout girl said, "Ooh, someone likes yogurt." And then I do a 20-minute routine explaining that I don't particularly like yogurt, that I was preparing ahead. But then you start to think maybe there is something a bit sinister going on with the yogurts, actually, that I'm... Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm protesting too much about the yogurts. But it's funny, when you say a word a lot of times in 20 minutes, it suddenly becomes nonsensical, how a word suddenly falls apart if you say it too often. So it's a really interesting routine, and it's the sort of base, it's a 20-minute routine that will be in this 60-minute show in Edinburgh. But I'm doing it partly for that, but just also partly just to get back performing, and I'm really, really enjoying it. It's just great to be you know, performing live in front of, and also to be performing in front of people who haven't actually paid to come and see me, which is what I've got used to, because obviously I've been in one-man shows that people come to the theatre and they know, you know, they come right. to see me. So to go to a stand-up gig, it's, you know, generally they've got their regular crowd and they might not necessarily know who I am, or, you know, and so it's kind of more flattering to go well in front of a crowd of people who don't know you. So
is your stuff not a little bit cerebral for the general, you know, hen party, stag party?
Well, it, you know, something like a Friday night where everyone's drunk, it can be. I've got plenty of material I can do, like tonight. I mean, I did a show that was a male version of the vagina monologues, is the politest way to say it. So I do have a lot of genital-based material. Right. So that can always get me through at those sort of sticky patches, so to speak. But you find it's all about confidence, yeah. actually, and you can do it.
You see me looking at the camera.
I know, I can, I'm well. Yeah, well,
news
I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to stop the news.
I'm going to
stop it.
No,
I want to. I don't want to. I want to carry on talking.
Interrupt you.
I'm more
important. Richard Herring is our guest in the studio. I will have more from Richard and the competition very, very shortly. Stay with us.
Late Thing, Friday and Saturday nights from 10.
Local entertainment without the adverts.
And that's the mid-50s Fahrenheit.
Finally, an internet casino company that won a frenzied online auction for a second-hand Volkswagen, once owned by Pope Benedict, plans to use the cars to raise funds for its charity. After bidding €189,000 for the grey Golf, once registered to Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, the casino founder, Richard Rowe, said the Pope might be astonished by the auction for his old car, but pleased with the end result.
Was it 30,000?
€189,000.
€189,000?
Yes.
What's €189,000 about?
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of, yeah.
It's more than the price of a Golf, Martin.
Yeah.
So what's it? Well, just you divide by 1.4.
Right.
Round about that.
Okay, that's clear then. So, it was... What was it? What was the car? A Golf?
An old Volkswagen Golf. It wasn't even a new one.
Blimey.
I think it was a Golf that was once owned probably by the Pope. Probably.
Yeah. See, Richard's got a Golf. I had an old Skoda once. I had to get a siren tester to get a head gasket for it years ago. But,
Martin, no, Skoda is owned by Volkswagen, which is owned by the Pope. There's a link there, Martin. You should have kept it.
I should have kept it.
Instead of keeping just the head gasket. Because, Martin, that amazed me that all that time ago, when you went all that way for the head gasket, you said, well, I tell you what, give it to you. You never know when you'll need another one.
That's true. Absolutely.
And you kept
right.
it all these years.
Kept it all
I've seen
years.
It in your garage.
Yeah. So the Pope's flogged his car.
He's flogged his car. He put it on that auction website.
All right, he didn't like put it in the Yorkshire Evening Post, so you had to go around and kick the tyres and things and say, yeah, well, I've got another couple of cars that I want to see.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't do that.
He didn't do that, no.
Straight onto eBay. So what happens to the money? Does he get the money?
You would have thought he would have sold it. No.
I know what happened. What? He sold it before. To a dealership in his home country, Germany.
Ah.
And the person who bought it from that dealership then noticed. They said, oh, there's a holy connection, we can't say anything. They were very honest, the actual dealership. And the bloke who bought it saw his name on the previous owner, and then he thought, oh, I'll sell this on eBay.
So it's not the Pope that's getting
it? No, the Pope wouldn't do that. No. I mean, you know, he was in the Hitler Youth and everything, but he wouldn't do... he wouldn't...
He's kept
the, he wouldn't sell...
He has kept the Duesenberg.
He's kept the Duesenberg, has he? Right. Fair enough.
He's got some morals, you know.
Yeah, bless
he's
him.
He's the Pope.
Well, of course he is the Pope.
Yeah.
Right, we've just established that. Steve, you'll be out clubbing now then and...
That's right, off to pick up some Tossie.
Excellent, excellent. Do enjoy it. And we'll see you again... hey, bring some around here if you want.
Right.
We'll see you again on next week.
See you next week.
Marvellous. I want to point out, actually, that Alex isn't here on Sunday. It's the Blarney of Dara Corcoran on Sunday here. So there you are. Right, 8 minutes past 12 midnight.
Hi, this is Mary of the Shangri-Las.
Oh, hi, Mary.
To tell you a bit about dating courtesy.
That's Tavares and Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel. It's 13 minutes past midnight. You're tuned to the BBC in the North. We're on Radio Humberside, BBC Radio Leeds, BBC Radio Sheffield and BBC Radio York. Thanks to Steve. He said, did that Steve Baker this is? He wasn't implying that I was remembering the days when we only had one TV channel. But he does say, he says, did that man say how to fillet a panda? I think he said how to fillet a panda, I think, which is a different thing altogether. I'm very much hoping. And... this one says, hi guys, please tell Mr. Herring that my elderly mother has never trusted yogurt. She thinks it's strange. That's from Lynn in Huddersfield.
Well, you know, I didn't know this. I was on, quote-unquote, the Smug Radio 4 quiz show the other day.
And, are you really saying that because you're here? If you're on national radio, Nigel Rees might be listening.
No, so I don't care. Nigel Rees, you know, is a slightly odd man, but he's okay. He was talking about how he'd had one of his first reports had been about yoghurt being introduced to the country, and I always thought yoghurt was something that had just always been here, but it was introduced from Greece in about the 1950s. Yeah, I didn't know that. So that's probably why the older generation don't trust it, because it's a new food stuff.
Well, it's relatively new, but I always thought they brought it in from, like, it was a Scandinavian thing. I think the first yoghurt we had was Ski.
Yeah.
And the way they advertised it was being, ooh, you know, thrillingly Scandinavian. Yeah. You know, you eat this Ski.
Well, you know, if you think you know better than Nigel Rees, it's up to, I don't know.
If Nigel Rees says it comes from Greece,
well,
Nigel
that's what Rees he said. Right. But he might have been lying to trick me.
Yeah, he could have been, couldn't he? But I mean, that's the thing is, he said it came from Greece in the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about seeing adverts on the TV in the 60s. And it was definitely Ski was the yoghurt. Yeah. And they did, you know, basically what this, because nobody was having sex in the 60s up north. Swingers was going, like, everyone was having sex in London.
Yeah.
And Cheddar, I bet they're not even having sex now.
No, we don't, it's not allowed.
No.
But, not amongst the human species.
Indeed. I wouldn't make any comment about that. So. But up north, the swinging 60s never, you know, we used to go and watch these films, like Here We Go Around the Mulberry Bush.
Mm.
This is way before your time. But you'd watch these films about Antonioni would go to, you know, do Blow Up in London, you know, with David Hemmings.
Yeah,
It's all great. It was all sports cars and everything. You'd go out of the cinema. And you'd be, well, Manchester in my case, you'd be in Manchester and it was still like, you know, there was still bomb sites there and everything. And there was, I don't know, it was always, you know, it was drizzly and it was, you know, it was horrible.
So what you're saying, for you, yoghurt was glamour.
Yoghurt was
glamour.
Whereas
for that lady,
it was scary, for you.
For you, it's sex. It makes you think of sex.
Absolutely. Because it was like, it was Scandinavian and it was ski and it was a bright thing. It was like a triangular, you know, the ski cartons. It wasn't like
I remember ski, you know. I remember ski, we used to have ski yoghurts.
Yeah, well, it was like a triangular thing, and it was a thrilling shape, and everything you thought, you know, a couple of spoonfuls.
See, you'd think it'd be hard to get 20 minutes out of yoghurt, but look, we've talked about it in a fascinating fashion. Just very fascinating.
People switching off in their droves out there. But you did think, you know, you had enough of that ski yoghurt, and you'd be banging yourself silly.
Yeah.
You thought, you know, that would be it. But it never works. But they did give you the impression that it was a really health-giving stuff. Mm. But it's not, is it, really? It's not really health-giving yoghurt.
Well, it's dairy product. You know, it's got milk in it.
Yeah.
Which is good for you, I suppose. And fruit.
Sort of, but they put a lot of sugar in it as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a fruit-flavoured yoghurt. Mm. I don't think yoghurt's any good for you at all. We have this.
If you've got thrush, it can cure that.
Thankfully, I'm okay in that department. But you see, we've got a small child of 4 years old.
Yeah,
fed
her on the radio.
Yeah, fed her on the radio. We've got a small child, and when she's had her main meal, you know, she wants some, you know, she says, oh, can I have a pudding? And my wife said, make her have a yoghurt. I said, no, give her a nice lolly. What's your bloody yoghurt for? Give her a wagon wheel. Much better than... Yeah. Don't you think a wagon wheel's better for you than yoghurt, Edward?
I cannot stand yoghurt. Mm. Definitely. This man does not like yogurt.
French yogurt's horrible, though, isn't it? It's really French yogurt's nice.
He's one step away from this camembert.
It's just white, and it's not. Oi. It's not. It's very sour.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you a trick. You told me the story you did in the supermarket with the yogurts.
Yes.
My trick, which I will do tonight on the way home, because they are open 24 hours, and this is the best time to do it. You go in there, you get the big trolley.
Yeah.
The big square one. Not one of those pointy front ones. No. The big square one.
Yeah, they only have those in Tesco, though.
Well, matter, I was not going to mention the brand name, but this, in fact, will be a branch of that well-known supermarket where we'll be going on the way home. And what you do, matter, is you go up and down one or two of the aisles with your big trolley, trying to look just marginally suspicious, because there's a lot of competition in that field this time of night. Then come back around to where the coffee, tea and sugar are. And you know the very big bags of granulated sugar? Get 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Land in the bottom of there. Look askance like that, then back askance like that, then go around again and come back and get 10 more. And matter, I'll tell you what, they all start doing it.
Yeah.
Wait, they think there's a run on the sugar. They go crazy poop. You can see them, and then they all matter, and the speakers go, and he says, I'm not sure they're back home like that. We need more sugar, aisle 60. And they bring out matter, a great big pallet load more sugar. And when you finish matter, you dump it down near the croissants. Get 4, bag up, and get out of there.
Yeah.
Wait.
Excellent. Good. Well, I'll try that.
Well, matter, don't go to my branch.
No.
No. Okay. Do your own.
Okay. It's time for this.
Now, it's time for radio's number one interactive quiz game.
That's right.
It's paper, scissors and stone.
Sure is. Let's talk to Paul from Bradford, first of all. Paul, good evening to you.
Good evening, Martin. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. You okay?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you.
Well, what a fantastic prize you're about to win, if you're lucky, on this one. We've got John Carpenter's Dark Star, the seminal sci-fi classic space comedy. Doesn't like a seminal film, is there, really? And all-time classic Tearjerkers, which are a triple CD. Mm. So those are the prizes. Let me ask you a question first. It was, what eye is the part of the body that digests food?
The intestine.
The intestine is absolutely right. So pick one for us now. Paper, scissors or stone?
I'll go for stone.
Right. Ila Shrezi, stone.
Oh, oui, Martin. And as regular listeners will know, I'm here, Edouard Lapaglier, your independent adjudicateur, to ensure that in this quiz, for these fantastic prizes, there is definitely no shitting. So, without only a small bit more ado, I will prepare the tool for the job, the fickle finger of fate. Press the button, and the fickle finger of fate, he spins around the première fois, he spins around the troisième fois, and he spins around the deuxième because it's completely pee-pee. And the answer, it says, you won't like it, Paul, because the computer has said, Paul has choisi the stone, Martin has choisi a papier. C'est Martin qui a gagné.
Oh.
Tous sont perdus. Alors.
Paul, I'm afraid you've lost.
Never mind.
Martin, what can you say, Martin? You've broken the man's heart with all this fair play.
Well, I'll
if it was moi, I would just give him it. But it would be beyond the bounds of my contract.
Yes. Paul, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'll give you... Oh, what's happened there?
Martin, the bond are here.
Oh. What the heck's happened there? That wasn't supposed to start. We just went down one there.
Oui, Martin, go down again. I liked it.
I'm going to go
down. In fact, Martin, go down, get up and get back down again.
Yeah, I think we'll have to. Isn't that bizarre? That just started. I wasn't anywhere near the buttons or anything.
Martin, when the show starts doing itself, it's time for us to get out of here.
You know, it's amazing. See the last audience figures, and now what they've done is they've got it automatic. So they've worked it behind my back. They've worked out how they can do the show without me being here.
Oui, Martin, somebody's discovered some kind of remote IP addressing and they're controlling it from home, from their own bedside.
It's outrageous. Now, what I was going to say to you...
Martin, Paul, give him a chance with the booby prize.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a chance with the booby prize.
I've got part of a crunchy bar. He could have that.
No? Do you like blues music, Paul?
Honestly,
if you want to be honest about it, if you don't like
No,
it.
Not blues.
Fair enough. Because we've got John Mayall on the blues.
Look at what you could have won.
You could have won that. Now, this is something good. It's stopped again. How bizarre. It's gone to another one now.
Hey, Martin, they're taking over.
This is ridiculous. I'm going to leave them. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll play it off the hotkeys.
Paul, do you like books with photographs of ladies with no clothes on?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'll pop around and we'll do some swapsies.
Whoops. You know, my glasses just...
Well, look at the sand of that.
Oh,
Fish,
I'm out of
a
quiver.
You're all of a quiver,
that's why they called me Arrow.
Oh, very good. Now, I'll tell you what we've got, Paul. We've got for you here.
Now, it's time for radio's number one.
We've got a jingle for you.
Yeah.
It's paper.
What we're doing, Paul, is we're playing it in off the hotkeys. What we have is Charlie Says, volume. Is Charlie. Have you got a wife, Paul?
Yeah.
What's she called?
Susan.
Susan. Shout down to. Is she awake?
No, she's sleeping on the couch.
Well, wake her up and say, hey, Susan, he's playing it in off the hotkeys.
I can't because she's downstairs and I'm upstairs.
Oh, never mind. It'd be fun that, though, wouldn't it, just to wake her up and say...
It would, yeah.
Radio man's gone down on him and he's playing it in from the hotkeys. They'd love that. Anyway, I'll tell you what I'm going to give you. We're going to give you Charlie Says, Volume 2, which is a whole series of... It's a brilliant thing because it's all those old public information videos you used to watch on the telly.
I remember them.
Yeah, well, brilliant. Well, you can win a whole collection of them.
Hey, Martin, you know which was my favourite?
Which one?
Don't Wap It on the Curtains.
Oh, that's a good one, that. Right, here we go. Let's try and find a question that's not too difficult here. So the question is, what bee was the ship... whose crew colonised Pitcairn Island before they burned the ship?
The Bounty.
The Bounty is absolutely right. Well done. Congratulations. That means that you've won for yourself Charlie Says Volume. Are we laughing at Edward?
Matt, I'm looking at you trying to find any piece of equipment still working on your desk.
Well, do you know what I was going to do?
Should I whistle a tune?
Well, normally, I'll tell you exactly what happened then. I'll tell you this as well, Paul.
Yeah.
If I would have been playing the jingle in off Radio Man, I could have played the jingle that says, yes, off the hotkeys.
Yeah.
But I'm playing that off the hotkeys, so I can't play the other thing off the hotkeys, or it'll stop the first thing I'm playing off the hotkeys.
You're getting too technical for me now.
Too technical for me.
Yeah, we don't understand what hotkeys are.
Yeah, the hotkeys are the ones at the bottom, you see. The hotkeys are the ones that do things like
keep
this.
Keep away from them, you'll get burnt.
There we go. We'll stop it all together, you see. So anyway, you have won Charlie Says Volume 2, so well done.
Fantastic.
Congratulations. And we'll put that in the post to you, Paul.
Thank you very much.
And all the best to you and to Susan sleeping there, snoozing contentedly on the couch.
great to talk to the great man.
Oh, bless you.
Give my regards to Edward.
Many men, when their wives are asleep, choose to go on the internet. But you choose to ring up local radio and win a prize.
He's a man of
this is it.
You're a good man. That means you're a good man.
Yeah. I'm a good man.
Yeah.
You are. Thank you very much. You're not so bad yourself.
Thank you.
Cheers, Paul.
Thank you all very much.
All the best
all
to
right,
you.
Then, bye.
There we go. Hi again, guys. I bought a yoghurt in secrecy in 66. I thought I was dead trendy. It exploded and made me look silly amongst my Merseyside trendy poet associates.
We've all got a yoghurt story. That's the thing. Everyone's got one.
It's amazing, isn't it? Let's talk to Dominic, who's from London. Dominic.
Yeah, hi there.
You all right?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Yeah, you're on your way to Darlington for the football?
That's right. Well, I'm going to stay in Darlington tonight and driving up to Middlesbrough in the morning.
Middlesbrough versus Spurs.
That's the one.
Big match. I'm told they're beaming it back to White Hart Lane, but it costs you £35 to watch it on White Hart Lane. Did you know that?
No, it's not as much as that. When you watch it on the TVs there, it's about £10, I think.
Well, yeah, it normally is. I know this because I have a friend who's a very, very keen Spurs fan.
All right.
He was saying, because it's just an important match, he's absolutely furious about it. He says, because it's such an important match, because this is going to decide who gets into the UEFA Cup, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Because it's such an important match, they're only beaming it back to the executive's suites. So you pay £35, you get one free drink, brackets, no spirits, and and a fork buffet. What the heck a fork buffet is, isn't it?
£35, that's steep, isn't it?
It is steep, so it's typical football property. But you're going to be there. You're going to be one of those Spurs fans who can say, I was there.
Loyal Spurs fan.
Yeah, well, good for you. Right, what... actually, you got the qualifier, didn't you? So pick one for us. Paper, scissors or stone?
I'll go for scissors.
Right, he's going for scissors. Edouard, I'm just going to play the jingle in, if that's all right.
Oh, oui, Matin, whatever you like, you are your man, Matin, with the finger on the pulse.
And no, on the hot keys. Here we go.
Now, it's time for Radio's number one interactive quiz game. It's paper, scissors and stone.
Right, it sure is. Dominic has...
La choisi. Oui, you choisi les scissors. And, of course, one more time, c'est moi, Edouard Lapagliere, your independent adjudicateur, who's operating the computer, which has now been reset, ready for this new game, where Dominic... Matin, you knew he was from around here with a name like that.
No, it's too posh. Nobody called Dominic in this area.
Well, there is tonight, Martin. So, Dominic, good luck and bonne chance. I'm going to use the fickle finger now and press the big button which starts the computer. And the fickle finger of fate, he spins around the première fois. He spins around the quatrième fois, which is one goal from before which I had left over. And he spins around the troisième fois. And he says, oh, Lord, look at that, Martin. I can't believe it. Dominic, I choisi le ciseau. Martin, I choisi le stone. Martin, you are a winner again, Martin. He's a bad night for the punters.
Dominic, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If you're going to answer one more question from this, I shall send you the prizes anyway.
Okay.
So here you go. This is the question that we're going to ask you. What P, these are all from Bob's Big Book of Blockbusters, these. What P were Socrates, Descartes, Bertrand Russell and Wittgenstein?
Philosophers,
absolutely. See, when I said Socrates, you being a football fan, I thought you'd probably say sort of Brazilian footballers. But no, you're absolutely right. They're all philosophers, which means that if I had my hotkey... It's such a shame you come all the way from London and we could have shown off playing and, you know, and the jingles aren't working or anything. It's annoying, really, isn't it?
Because everything in London works really well. We're not used to this.
No.
Things going wrong in London. It's all perfect.
What station do you normally listen to in London?
I listen to Heart FM.
Well, you're in good company. Everybody listens to Heart FM. they're doing very well. They've just overtaken Capital in Reiki.
That's right.
Keep an eye on these things. Well, there you go. But I bet you wish you lived up here. You could listen to this, don't you?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, don't forget, Matt, you can listen on the internet anytime. We're live and beamed worldwide.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking. Yeah, we're on the internet. So if you tell your friends.
Oh, we'll do, definitely.
And, yeah, well, bless you for that. And you can hear your own performance archived.
Really, Matt, even this will be on the archive on the website from Monday.
From Monday.
Wait, yeah. This fantastic appearance where we nearly did not win those fantastic prizes from your Gonda bag.
Okay, John Carpenter's Dark Star and all-time classic tearjerkers coming your way.
Fantastic.
Thanks for taking part. All the best, Dominic.
Okay, thanks for that.
Best luck to Spurs tomorrow playing against Middlesbrough there. Question for Richard coming on the email here. Danny says, will Richard be bringing us another series of the excellent That Was Then, This Is Now? Or is he joining the elite group who count Radio 2 as former employers?
Well, most BBC stations are former employers of mine. I don't know what's happening with that. We're waiting to hear if there's another series. I think they liked it, so it could well be. The thing, because it was a sketch show about.
I was in the pilot.
Oh, there
I was in the pilot. Never got the show, but I was in the pilot. It was with Clive Anderson. That was the one.
Oh no, it's a different one.
Ah, right, different show.
This was a sketch show. I was on that as well.
Right.
This was a sketch show where we looked at what happened this week in history and then did sketches about it. And my main worry is that they'll recommission it. But it'll be the same 6 weeks we've just did last year. Yeah. So we said, make sure you don't make it October, but I'm sure we'll be recommissioned.
I heard that was then, this is now.
Yeah, yeah.
It was in the same slot as they have that, it was at 1:30 on a Saturday?
Yes, about 1 o'clock or 1:30. It's just after, it was 1 o'clock, just after. It was a great slot. So, you know, it was a fun show to do, so I hope we'll do some more. But we'll see, I've got some other radio things possibly coming up. I write a blog at www.richardherring.com and I'm hopefully going to make that into a radio show.
All right.
I might write about, yeah, I wrote about Radio Leeds yesterday. If you go there, you can write. You think today's bad. You think the technical things today are bad. You wait. Go and read my blog about being on Radio Leeds yesterday.
Oh, well, we'll read it. Tomorrow night.
I'll mention it tomorrow, definitely. So hopefully I'm doing a radio show based on that. And there's a couple of other things as well coming up. If the That Was Then, This Is Now doesn't take off. But there's quite a few things coming up, hopefully. So.
Yeah, so you're only wasting your first million then, really. Or
on like the way to it, you know. But yeah. I've been on the way to it. Having £1 is on the way to a million, isn't it?
On the way to a million, absolutely. Should we do some of the stories from the frontiers of the semi-incredible, Edward?
We might, and we could do that while the technicians are repairing your equipment.
Yeah, there's six or seven people
under your desk.
Under the desk, yeah. Oh, and the technicians are going to have to squeeze under there as well, so that's going to be difficult. Right, here we go.
Tell them a story, Dad.
Okay, a boy finds live snake in cereal. A five-year-old boy reached into his breakfast cereal box and came face-to-face with a live snake.
Matan, what kind of snake was it?
It was
a snake in the box.
No, it does say somewhere here. I think it was a little adder. Oh no, a 2-foot-long corn snake.
They're not trouble.
You know, we used to get little submarines, little plastic toys in the cereal. Now they're putting snakes in.
They can't do that now because you might swallow it, Martin.
Is that right?
We can't do any of that kind of stuff, Matt. Health and safety, Matt, down there everywhere.
Do you remember the other week we were doing, there's a guy, there's a short order cook in New Mexico or Arizona or somewhere, and he got the hump with some of the customers, and he was adding something to their sandwiches.
Yes.
A bit of mayonnaise, Martin. In fact, it looked like it touched your girl.
Yes.
Steve Jones did the same to Glenn Matlock in the Sex Pistols, I believe.
Yeah. So you know what he was adding to it. Well, apparently, is now they're making a face moisturiser out of it. It's without a word of a lie. Well, I'll read the story. It's late at night. But it's a semen moisturiser, big in Mexico, it says. A face moisturiser made out of... Made out of this euphemism, has been launched in Mexico. Porn star Lynn May, who's in her 60s, is behind the company.
Oh, Matan, she's got a skin like a baby's bottom. Not on her face, but plenty on the bottom.
That doesn't make sense.
Matan, you've not seen the movies.
Anyway, she's behind the company, but you know, this is what you said.
Well, she's in front of the camera.
Producing the cream. Mrs. May swears that this particular moisturiser is capable of erasing wrinkles and leaves skin soft. You know, we'll take her word for it, I think.
I've been using that one for a long time, so I'm glad that it's now, you know, got some currency. I can use that when I have a friend back.
Yeah.
I can say, look, see, it's in the paper.
So you're saying all this. You've got a girlfriend, nice girlfriend, at home in your lovely house in Regent's Park or wherever it is. Where do you live?
Shepherd's Bush,
beautiful. In the gorgeous, gorgeous garden city of Shepherd's Bush. And
I think you've been there.
Yeah, been there many a time. And you know, and she's there, and unknown to, you know, so yeah. You know she can't listen.
She can't hear this unless she's on the internet.
Unless she's on the internet. And I'm sure she won't be. Well, she might be on the internet, but she won't be listening to this.
I'm looking at the internet now, I can see the stats. There's nobody
might be buying some of this. She might be buying some of this product on the internet.
She might even not need to buy it. But anyway, so, you know, she's at home, so, and you're saying you're making suggestive comments about young ladies. Nigel Rees, he's back there in Kensington, wherever he lives, or Chelsea, or whatever. And you're calling him, what did you call him, dull or pompous or something?
I didn't say anything. I said the show was smug. I said he was lovely.
Smug.
So, Matt Allen, this stuff.
Self-satisfied.
I was on quote unquote as well, actually. They did a thing from Yorkshire, and we loved it. I had great fun.
It's a good show. I'm not knocking it. It's just self-satisfied and smug.
Yeah,
I was on it, so that makes me self-satisfied.
Well,
smug.
Precisely. Well, I did it because, you know, the money and the experience.
Yeah, it's good money.
And it was for just like two half hours. It's the easiest money, and they tell you all the answers.
They do tell you the answers.
And tell you what.
See, now you're revealing that.
And they tell you, is that smug to reveal that? And they tell you all the, and then they tell you the answers, and then they tell you the subjects. They say, we'll be talking about fathers. So you go, a book of quotes, fathers. Oh, yeah, this is what Woody Allen said. This is what so-and-so said. And then you hear these people like, what's his name? Simon Fanshawe, he's always on it. And you say, hey, yes, Oscar Wilde said something very funny about this. And you think, well, I'm going to look at that up in a book, you know. Ridiculous.
We matter. So this stuff, this Dr. Love custard.
It's a great show. You've just ruined it for everyone.
We matter.
What?
This stuff, Matan, the Dr. Love custard cream. Can you order some 500 gram jar? Because Matan, my friend went to work in the factory where they make that.
Did he really? Oui, Matan. Tell me, did he have to work a week in hand?
Oui, Matan, he did.
Yeah, excellent. He always says that same joke, it's a week in hand. So.
It's good.
Yeah, it's all right. what else have we got here from the function of the semi-incredible?
It's a good job.
Yeah.
It would be a good job to have that.
It would be a very good job, wouldn't it?
I am at in the second week, they sacked him.
Yeah, why was that? Oh, yeah.
it's a sort of a visual punchline. Wait, if I catch you doing that again, you're fired. This is your third verbal warning. Yeah. Hey, don't give me the verbals. Get down, get up, get back down again.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I thought it was the same thing as about he had his thing in the bacon slice and, you know...
He took it to a tribunal.
We had to... Did he stand up in court?
We met him. He put it in the hands of his brief.
Excellent.
Any more chestnuts? Roll them out quick.
So, Richard.
Yes.
Who have been your major influences comedically? I mean, you're growing up in Cheddar, yeah?
Yep.
So let's imagine you were about 16 years old in Cheddar.
Yeah.
It's about, what is it, 80s, 1980s?
It is the 1983, I suppose.
Your minivan was £162 back in those days.
So you were listening to, it was not the 9 o'clock news, all that stuff?
Not 9 o'clock news, Monty Python on record. I used to have all the Monty Python records, and the young ones, I think the
Rick Merton.
Because
before your time, you must have been quite a comedy...
I was really into, you know, you're growing up in the countryside, and there's nothing to do, literally. So I think my brother brought back a tape of Monty Python Live at Drury Lane, and then we got into comedy quite early at school. I think we sort of started doing our own sketches that were basically copied off Monty Python. And,
were you at school with Stuart Lee, then? Or
no, I was at school, actually, with another guy who went on, called Steve Cheek, who and a few of my friends, we used to do sketches and stuff. But funny enough, Steve Cheek went to Cambridge University, where he met Simon Munnery, who's quite a big act now. And they used to do a double act called God and Jesus. So the bloke I was at school with worked with Simon Munnery, and then Stuart's worked with Simon Munnery as well. So it all kind of links together. Stuart nearly came to live in Cheddar when he was a teenager as well, so he could have met at school.
Yeah, and of course there's a big gorge at Cheddar. Big gorge there. And famous for cheese, and, you know, so it's interesting with you doing the dairy products.
There we go, links back. It's all, everything overlaps.
And then you go out, Matin, and do the toplang. There's a cow toplang, you topple the cow into the gorge, when he goes roly down like that in the bottom, then when you milk it, out comes the yogurt.
Is that right?
That's one way of doing it,
certainly. But it's interesting that you're from Cheddar, and John Cleese is from Weston-super-Mare, just down the road.
He is.
And then you got into Monty Python when the Pythons were pretty well... they'd gone to movies back.
Yeah, they were making the films. Like, I remember trying... I really desperately wanted to see Life of Brian, and I wasn't old enough when that came out, and my mum and dad wouldn't let me go.
Holy Grail's better than Life of Brian.
I think they're both... I prefer Life of Brian slightly, but they're both very good films.
No, I'm afraid you're wrong there.
Okay.
I did grow up with Monty Python, you know, and I can tell you without fear, you know, that is a provable fact that The Holy Grail is better than Life of Brian. They're both good films, but The Holy Grail is better.
I just like the subject matter. It's more risque in Life of Brian, and it just makes more of a point, whereas The Holy Grail, very good, but sort of a combination of sketches.
Yeah, but I mean, tell him he's already got one.
That is good.
He's already got one.
It is good.
I told him your mother smells of elderberries and all that.
But apparently the Spam a Lot isn't necessarily all that good. Terry Jones doesn't like Spam a Lot.
No. So, and after Monty Python, what were you going to do?
Well, then, you know, I was sort of, it was written mail and stuff like that, and I was sort of, I was into sort of sketches and stuff. I met Stuart at university, and we wrote sketches and stuff, but then I think we started getting influenced by the sort of stand-up generation. People like Jerry Sadovitz and Arthur Smith and Norman Lovett and people like that were the kind of, you know, stand-up was just becoming big, and we were a little bit, you know, behind the, still doing sort of sketches at university, yeah. And then that, so coming to London and, but like a lot of the people I work with now, you know, like Harry Hill and Al Murray, I think are great. And Stuart, I think, is just a fantastic stand-up.
Did you work with Harry Hill then? Did you write
I did write for Harry Hill for one series of TV, but
has he got in the top 10 one-liners? I cut them out of paper here. Excuse me, let's get a room tonight. But we cut, I cut the one-liners out of the paper. I've lost them now. But Harry Hill, I'm just wondering, is one of yours? If I could find
no, it. No, I don't think he will. He writes all his own stand-up.
Oh, here
stuff.
We go. These are all the top 10 one-liners. Harry Hill's was, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but in my experience, so does an air rifle in the top bedroom window. Boom, boom. This is some good ones. Jimmy Carr, do you like him?
I quite like Jimmy Carr. I think he's doing too many list programmes on television.
Oh, they're terrible, aren't they, yes. Really? Yeah.
But he's a very good stand-up.
Yeah, a lady with a clipboard stopped me in the street the other day. She said, can you spare a few minutes for cancer research? I said, well, all right, but I don't think we'll get much done. Rather like that.
That's good.
Jack D, I've had death threats. Well, okay, a petition. And Bill Hicks, were you a big fan of Bill Hicks?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
We had Bill Hicks's biographer on the show last week, who's written, he's a guy who produced Bill Hicks and went around.
Yeah, no, I've seen, I haven't read that one. I've read the other one, I read the Cynthia Tree one, but I haven't read the new one yet.
Yeah, Kevin Booth's the guy, Agent of Evolution, yeah. He was very good, and we played a bit of Bill Hicks, which took me all afternoon to bleep out the, because we can be a little bit relaxed late night, but we can't use the F word.
No.
Sadly. Just once. Just once.
But, you mean you can't say philosopher?
No.
Right. We did. He was the answer in the quiz.
Yeah.
Matin, edit the tap, quick.
I'll edit it. Richard Herring is our guest in the studio. Richard Herring, which you may know of Leon Herring. You may know him from his own stand-up stuff. And you may know him as a writer. Because would you consider yourself more of a writer?
I think both, really. I mean, I'm probably... I do both. I like to write it for myself. I suppose writing I can always fall back on. I'm a writer-performer. So.
Excellent. Okay. Are you right to hang around for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, a little bit longer.
Stayed here this long.
You know, where am I going to go now?
Where are you going to go now? Absolutely. Right. It's like sort of sad guys to me.
Wait only a few hours, the buses start again.
Yeah, excellent. Looking forward to that. Right, we had a little preview of this earlier on, and now here it is in its entirety. Donovan, Sunshine Superman. That's Donovan and Sunshine Superman. 16 minutes to 1 o'clock. It's Martin Cullen's Late Thing on BBC Radio Humberside, BBC Radio Sheffield, BBC Radio York, and BBC Radio Leeds. We've been very MOR tonight.
Hey, Martin, is it that time you played some headbanger stuff? How about some AC/DC?
Well, I mentioned earlier on, somebody's left behind, and I can't think under what circumstances this...
Martin, don't talk about... Pat, you can't do that, Martin. Don't talk about people's left behinds on the radio. No, don't do that.
Somebody has left in the studio... and I can't think in what circumstances this appeared at BBC in Leeds. But anyway, somebody's left at AC/DC Back in Black.
Whoop!
And you're a fan of heavy...
I'm not really into heavy metal, I have
to say. What sort of music do you like?
I quite like punk music is the closest to that I would like. Yeah. And I like a lot of 60s stuff. And
You'd be happy here. We're playing nothing but 60s.
I know, it's quite nice.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Good. Like jazz? Like a bit of jazz?
I don't particularly like jazz.
Yeah. Anyway,
I prefer it to heavy metal, though.
You prefer it to heavy metal. Well, we have, you like a bit of country music? Country western?
Not so much with the country.
I love it.
Martin, it's about time for Headbangers Heaven at 12:47.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Pick a track.
No, I did mention Hell's Bells.
But that way, carry
on. You love this stuff, don't you? Shoot to Thrill.
We can't, more. You're the human jukebox.
What do you do for money, honey? There's one here called Giving the Dog a Bone. Do you think there's a double meaning in that at all?
Matin, let's find out, Matin, because there's even the slightest waff of a double entendre in there.
I'll whip it out straight away.
There may be rude words in them, though. Be careful.
Well, I mind you, they might be, because this is the nowadays they put parental advisory on, but they don't do that in the, you know, this is 1995. It's 10
we
years
didn't
ago.
Have parents back then.
Didn't have parents back then, we couldn't afford them. You shook me all night long. Have a drink on me, shake a leg, and rock and roll ain't noise pollution. Well, I'm not going to play it unless I get a text asking for it.
Okay, so where's my mobile?
07786 202 924 if you want to text and ask for a track from AC/DC Back in Black, and that will sort of, it'll be something to lift us before bedtime. Priya, where are you playing tomorrow?
I was actually meant to be in Leeds, but I'm going to Oxford to host a poker event.
Oh, you're a poker fan? That's what you're asking about online.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about.
It's just in between, yeah. So the
did you play with all those people like Victoria Corran?
I have played with her, yes, at poker. And, I did a TV show with the celebrity poker thing that's on Challenge TV. And I came seventh in that out of about 40.
Is that the one Steve Davis plays?
I think he might have done it in a previous year, but this he wasn't in this year. But there was quite, you know, there was a lot of, you know, minor celebrities doing it. But I came sort of seventh, and that kind of made me get the bug a bit more. So I've been trying
Which minor celebrities?
Michael Greco from off of EastEnders.
He's on everything. He's in celebrity wrestling as well.
No, that's a different one. There's a couple of cricketers. The disgraced.
Oh, Phil Tufnell.
Yeah, no, Ed Giddings, disgraced cricketer.
Yeah, I don't know him.
And Mike Tindall, who goes out with Zara Phillips.
Right.
He did all right. Johnny Vegas was in it and people like that, but they all got knocked out. The people who got to the final were quite good poker players. Yeah. It was quite intimidating in the final. So I'm going to be playing against Greg Ramos, the world champion poker player tomorrow.
Hey, brilliant.
So I imagine he'll beat me. I've been practicing online today and not doing particularly well.
Did you use a lot of money, or...?
I'm probably about even overall. I think I might have lost a bit now because I won £800 in the celebrity poker thing, which bankrolled me for a while. Yeah. Online I do because it just gets boring. It's not as much fun playing online. You need to see people, I think.
Yeah.
Do they by any chance have the requirement there for an independent adjudicator? I could do that, Martin. The fickle finger would keep an eye on them.
Yeah, no, we need that. Online you do because there are ways to cheat on one. Yeah, no, we don't want that.
No. So how do you do the cheating online? Can you give me some tips?
I think you have to be in a little group of you. I don't know quite how it works, but they have people looking out for it, so be careful. Don't cheat.
No, don't cheat.
Poker's about lying, not cheating.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about poker, it's become so popular, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's a very exciting game, I think. It's very, very... You know, there's especially Texas Hold'em, which is what everyone plays.
Texas Hold'em, my son's always watching it on the telly.
Yeah.
He says, oh, that's great, Texas Hold'em. But it doesn't mean much to me, really.
You should get into it. It's, you know, takes 5 minutes to learn, lifetime to master.
Right. And they say that if you're sitting around a table playing poker and you don't know who the mug is,
it's you. Well, that's a terrifying thing. At times I'm playing online, I go, I know I can get that person's money, but then a lot of the times I don't know. So then I think...
Would you say overall? But presumably you only gamble what you can afford.
Yeah. I mean, you can play very low stakes. You can play for free. It's not quite as the quality of the game isn't as good. But you can play like for a dollar. You can do these tournaments where you pay a dollar and you can play for 20 minutes for a dollar and you might win $4.
Yeah.
Or you can go. You know, you can get stupid and you can lose £100 in 3 minutes. You know. Yeah. So you do have to watch it. But I'm too with money. I'm too. I like gambling, but at the end of the day, if I've lost £300, I'll feel upset and that, or I'm going to take the software.
So you're not addicted.
I've got another tip.
But you're not addicted to it because people are addicted to it. They actually quite like. They're addicted to losing in a way.
I think that is with gambling. Yeah. You know, you do. It is a dangerous thing. And I used to play in casinos a bit, and you do see people who are just playing on roulette and basically putting a count on every number so that they win. They look like they've won, but you lose because. You know, that's the way it works.
Well, roulette, you do lose, don't you?
Yeah.
Overall, you lose.
Well, all gambling, you lose. That's why. I mean, poker, the nice thing is it stays. If you play with friends, the money all stays in the room. At least it's not going off to some big casino owner.
Yeah.
But,
I was seeing Willie Thorne on the telly. I mean, he used to ridiculous bets. Like, he put 30,000 on. He turned up at a snooker tournament once, and I think it was John Virgo or John Parrott, one of them anyway. Said to Willie, just happened to make a casual remark in the corridor. Willie was commentating, this other guy was playing, and he said to him, oh God, I left my cue on the train or something. I've got to play with it. Like, I don't even know this cue. I'm going to play. And of course, Willie had this inside information that John Virgo, whoever it was playing with the wrong cue.
Yeah.
Immediately put 30 grand, which was all his money, on this, you know, that he was going to lose.
Yeah.
And bizarrely, the guy won.
Yeah.
And Willie had to commentate on it when he saw his money going down the drain. Imagine what that was like.
Well, that's the danger. Don't gamble.
Don't know what you can afford.
And don't ever win more money than you would know how to spend.
Well, I will. If West Brom beat Manchester, are you a footy fan as well?
A little bit. I support York City, actually.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Because you start off in York.
Yeah.
Do you support Toby, who's the Eminence Grise behind the Hi-Fi Club and the Library and the Oak Comedy Club here in Leeds? He supports York City as well.
I know. We worked that out yesterday. Yeah. Discovery thought I was taking the mickey out of him.
Well, I've had a little small wager this weekend on Charlton to beat Chelsea at Chelsea and West Brom to beat Manchester United at Manchester United.
Yes.
Just because it's the end of the season, I think something wacky is going to happen.
Yeah.
And my £5 double will earn me £405.
Well, that's pretty good.
If that comes off, yeah.
I think you can kiss goodbye to that money.
I probably can. But it was either that or throw the £5 down the drain.
But then York City beat Man United 3-0 at Old Trafford, so if we can do it, anyone can.
We met that. You just never know, Matt, what's around the corner.
No, that's
I do, because I look first.
Yeah, good thing. Well, we've had a few people wanting AC/DC. Play the metal you was, this one says. Hi, Steve. I'll have AC/DC, matey, from Rick Tallgent Harrison in Bingley. I used to ask for him all the time. AC/DC, how did you know I had the recharger in as well? Uncanny. So, what's that all about? I don't even know who it is.
Well, there must be somebody with the mobile phone on charge.
Ah,
they might have been making a joke about electricity there at AC/DC. The third meaning of it, because I believe, you know, it's a band, it's a kind of electricity. And also, it's a
kind of
sexual
persuasion kind of thing. Like 10cc,
bisexual.
Like 10cc.
Well, which isn't actually correct, that you don't make that much. That would be a lot.
I do.
10cc. If you can, you can make a lot of money for that.
I'm selling it as a moisturiser. Okay, here we go then. What should we have? Hell's Bells? Hello, love, Back in Black. Yeah, because I know that one. There's no rude words in that.
Matin, c'est votre choix. Do whatever you like, Matin.
Okay, here we go. AC/DC, Back in Black. That's Spinal Tap. No, it's not Spinal Tap. It's AC/DC and Back in Black. Many thanks to Richard Herring, who's been our guest over the last hour or so.
It's been great fun. I've enjoyed it very much. It's a very funny show.
Oh, bless you for that. Bless you. There you go. So we can put that on the website. You know, a very funny show.
Oh, what else? And the figure's not so good.
Figures put that on, definitely. Right, Edward.
Oui, matin, c'est moi.
You're going to be with us tomorrow night. What have we got on the show tomorrow night, Darren? He's fast asleep in there. Hey, Darren. Hiya. What's on the show tomorrow night? Just so I can, you know... Hal Cruttendon, funny man. Do you know Hal Cruttendon, Richard?
Yes, I know yes.
He's a comedian, he's very funny. He's good. He's got a wife who's from Northern Ireland. Because I saw him at Edinburgh actually last year, and he was doing a thing where he said that, you know how there was a dispute, somebody's in the bathroom, how much longer are you going to be in there?
Yeah.
Well, it says his wife, in a very sort of broad Ulster accent, how much longer are you going to be in there? And so you get out immediately, you know. So he's very funny. So he'll, I'm sure he's got other funny stuff as well. So he's with us tomorrow, Hal Cruttendon. Anything else? Oh, Dora Dale, of course. Oh, yes, and Paul will be chattering about what the chattering classes are chattering about. And Elaine Lilith from LA. So fantastic. Thank you very much indeed, Richard.
Thank you.
Yep, have a good time at Oxford, a celebrity poker. Oh, well.